From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Robert Hunter Jr. from the University of Texas Medical School in Houston is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about a research advance on tuberculosis that might lead to a stronger and more effective vaccine.
Dr. Robert Hunter Jr. is Distinguished Professor and Chairman of the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at the University of Texas Medical School in Houston. He is a specialist in the clinical pathology and immunopathology of infectious diseases. Dr. Hunter, before we discuss the details of your study in the March 1 Nature Medicine Advanced Online publication, how big of a problem is tuberculosis worldwide, and who is most susceptible to infection?
Tuberculosis is a very serious problem. Although the incidence has been declining for many years, it still infects about one-third of the world's population and kills more people than any other infection in the world, which is nearly 2 million a year. Most cases are in the third world, but it is not at all uncommon in the United States. Houston, where I live, is the second only in New York City in the number of cases of tuberculosis. Around the world, it is a common problem in two sets of people, primarily young children and adults, and primarily people in crowded, malnourished, impoverished situations. However, it is impossible to protect yourself from tuberculosis. It's become infected through inhaling bacteria that other people have coughed up, and it is prevalent. It has not been eradicated any place in the world, and there are sporadic cases come up many times. It's a major problem in the United States for control that we have skin tests for surveillance of tuberculosis of many healthcare workers required yearly. So it is still a significant problem. The real worry, though, that many people have is that drug-resistant tuberculosis has continued to increase around the world in spite of the efforts and the fact that it has been controlled in some areas, and there's multiple drug resistance and now extreme drug resistance, some of which are resistant to virtually all antibiotics and almost impossible to treat. And the continuing spread of these and the movement of those with people from country to country is a major concern.
As you just mentioned, antibiotics are used to treat TB. There's also a vaccine available known as BCG, but it offers only partial protection in children and is ineffective in adults. What is BCG, and why is there a problem with the current BCG vaccine?
BCG is a live attenuated form of Mycobacterium bovis, which is a tuberculosis-like infection of cattle. It has been attenuated back actually in the 1920s, so it is no longer pathogenic, but it still shares many antigens with tuberculosis, and so that it is an effective vaccine. It is actually the most widely used vaccine in the world. It works reasonably well, about 80% in many studies, to protect children from disseminated tuberculosis, most importantly tuberculous meningitis. But most studies show that it has no effect at all in protecting adults from pulmonary tuberculosis, which is the major cause of disease and death in the world. Why this is fails to protect adults has never been adequately explained. It's been studied intensively for over half a century. It's assumed that it does not elicit a strong enough or a long-lasting enough response, but there are many parts of this that are still not well understood.
I understand many attempts have been made to improve the vaccine, but these efforts have failed. How come?
BCG is a pretty strong immunogen vaccine by most criteria. It is known to produce strong immune responses, but they're not strong enough to control tuberculosis. This is an exceedingly difficult bacteria to kill. It has a thick lipid coating that protects it. It also is extremely good at hiding. It becomes dormant, can persist for many years. Antibiotics and vaccination will kill most bacteria, but they seldom sterilize an individual, so it will tend to come back. Also, the organism has, we are learning, mechanisms of not only evading immune responses, but preventing us from developing immune responses. Even though by most criteria it is a strong vaccine, it has found ways to prevent us from making a really protective response.
You and your colleagues reported that you investigated the ways by which BCG evades immune-stimulating mechanisms, and your group subsequently devised two means to neutralize these mechanisms. What did your group do to achieve successful neutralization?
We've actually been studying the mechanisms of host-resistant tuberculosis for well over a decade in this group. There are two really important components to this. First is there's a lipid on the surface of TB called cord factor, trehalose-6,6-dimicylate, that protects the organisms from killing in macrophages by several mechanisms. This lipid prevents phagosome-lysosome fusion, prevents acidification of phagosomes, inhibits antigen presentation. We found that removal of that lipid, either by physically stripping it off or better vaccine, deleting the gene that finalizes the synthesis of the lipid on the surface, makes a more effective vaccine, and does this by making it into a better immunogen. Secondly, Dr. Jagannath hypothesized that autophagy means autophagocytosis, a process whereby cell components are taken up within the cell, much as they take up particles on the outside by phagocytosis, and then can present these, degrade them, or present them to the immune cells to stimulate immunity, particularly T cells. Dr. Jagannath presented that certain antigens, especially antigen 85B, which is a dominant antigen that's released from organisms, could be enhanced immune response to these by stimulating enhanced autophagy, which is the main topic of this paper. He demonstrated by putting these two mechanisms together, stimulating autophagy with appropriate use of the drug rapamycin, together with an organism that traffics better than the wild type or normal vaccine through the antigen-presenting pathways, had really a very significant effect in improving the immune response and increasing the protection to BCG in the models we used.
Would you provide a little more detail specifically about how the combination of rapamycin and the genetically modified form of Mbovis work together to make the vaccine more effective?
One of the defenses of Mycobacterium tuberculosis against our host is to limit the host's ability to produce an effective immune response. It has ways of hiding from responses, but it also has ways of keeping us from presenting responses. And this overcoming this ability of it to modulate our immune response is the key to this work. The mutation, genetically removing, inactivating the FPPA gene that triggers or that codes for the final production of the lipid cord factor, allows organisms to enter the antigen-presenting pathways and induce a stronger response, and the autophagy dramatically increases this by helping things that are produced within the phagosome and released into the cytoplasm to be recaptured and put back into the antigen-presenting pathways. The combination makes a significantly better immune response. And the real difference is that many investigators in the past have tried to put new antigens and better antigens into BCG to induce a more effective immune response. This is really the first time that it really looks at how do you overcome this organism's ability to reduce the response that the host makes.
Let's look at the actual experiment you did itself. What model system did you use, and what were the results of your work on improving the effectiveness of the BCG vaccine?
The model system was the standard mouse model of tuberculosis. It's one that has been adopted by the NIH as standard ways of testing vaccines. When one uses the modified vaccine with rapamycin drug, produced a tenfold reduction in numbers of organisms, which is a tenfold increase in the killing of TB, and probably more significant, it lasted three times longer. So it produced a stronger response that lasted a longer time. And so we think this is the major in what is the most widely accepted mouse model and really the animal model of tuberculosis vaccines.
What are the next steps you and your team have planned to move this research forward?
The next steps, we've found out a way now to make BCG induce a stronger response to antigens that it produces. The next step is to make sure that it is producing the most effective antigens. BCG, being an attenuated and bovine organism, lacks some of the antigens that have been shown to be partially protective in other studies of TB vaccines. The next step is to add antigens back to this and try to optimize the antigens produced by vaccines so the best antigens can be produced and presented to the immune system in the most effective fashion.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.